We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good Minute Hummel podcast, and we got Robbie Hummel.
I'd known you since you were a kid.
I could blow my knee out, both knees, and still kick your ass.
We're trying to find the Robbie Hummel statue.
I wanted to kill you.
And now welcome to an episode of the Goodman and Hummel podcast. It is going to be the best episode that you've ever heard in this podcast feed. Obviously, I am not Jeff Goodman. My name is Rob Doster. I got Robbie Hummel here with me. And me and Robbie were texting, and we decided that he was tired of having someone on the show with him that didn't know basketball, that didn't know how to dress well. So we decided to kind of like up the level of talent of ball knowership on this podcast. So he invited me on. Robbie, what's going on? I appreciate you allowing me to grace this podcast with my presence.
I will say it's nice to just have someone on here who's not going to bring down the credibility of this podcast. Jeff has really been detrimental to that over the last, well, I would say probably 3 years, but really heavily in the last 2 months, where it's every prediction he makes is terrible. I think we might need to fire him. I don't know what else to do with this guy.
Yeah, it's a good thing he doesn't have access to Field of 68 funds on his betting account. So it is funny though, because there's like half the time you guys do an episode, I'll get a text or two from someone being like, why does Robbie still associate with Goodman? And only like half of them are joking.
It's amazing how when I go places, mostly media days, where you get to see the coaches in a more like non-scripted format, so many of them are like, why do you do that with Jeff? Or why do you take that from Jeff? And I ask myself that sometimes too. Why do I put up with Goodman?
Because you get moments like what happened on your Peacock broadcast last week. For people that didn't see it, there was, I believe he was a former Michigan State manager or GA or walk-on. He was someone with Michigan State.
I think he was a walk-on turned maybe GA, it sounds like. I'd have to double check on that. But yes, he was associated with the Michigan State program at one point.
And he was sitting directly behind the broadcast booth, and he held up an image on his phone that said, Jeff Goodman cannot throw a football 20 yards. Just take me through what happened in that moment.
Well, I didn't know until I saw it on Twitter. During a media timeout, I just happened to take a look at my phone, and I saw the picture, and I turned around, and he still had it up, and I thought it was so funny. So he must listen to the podcast, and I agree. And there's no way Jeff can throw a football 40 yards. He said he's going to do it in Charleston. He's going to make his wife get his phone out, and she's going to film. Can you imagine him like getting a 10-yard running start and just heaving it like 15 yards? Because that's what I envisioned going to happen.
Hummel. Okay, so I'm going to tell this story here because this is the perfect platform to tell the story on. When we were in Boca for the Field of 68 tip-off, Dagan Hughes, our producer, were making fun of Jeff the entire time. Like, there's no way you can actually throw a football that far. There's no way you can throw that far. So he's like, watch this. Give me a basketball. So we're in the field of the FAU field house, their gym. And he takes a basketball and he tries to throw it, and it makes it to like the other foul line, right? Like
he can't even throw it full court.
But here's the best part. Here's the best part, Hummel. He grabs his elbow. He's like, oh, that hurt a lot. All right, give me the ball back. And he does it again. And then he gets it a little further this time. Like, it probably makes it just a little bit past the foul line. And he's grabbing his elbow again. It's like, oh, that one really hurt. He's like, give me the ball again. And he goes and he throws it as hard as he can. And it makes it like he makes it almost to the other end of the court, right? Like, it was a decent throw for a 65-year-old man with a basketball, but he doubles over in pain, grabbing his elbow. I don't know what he did, but he was so focused on trying to prove that he could throw a basketball the length of the court that he damn near threw out his arm. And he goes and he sits to do the show afterward. And I swear it looked like he had an apple in his elbow. Whatever he did, he really hurt his elbow.
The bursa sac had swollen up. He's going to have Tommy John surgery off of those three throws, I think.
Oh man, that was so funny. I was dying.
My cat is hijacking the podcast.
There you go.
Monty, you can leave now.
That we're not cutting that out, Hummel. That's staying.
That's fine. He's a good cat.
I love that you're now a cat guy.
I am. I actually grew up with cats. So we had two when I was a kid, and we have Monty now. Monty's my cat, son.
My cat is an absolute psycho that will attack every single person that walks into the house. My dog is scared of everything. So we have a guard cat. Mm-hmm. So we never have to worry about anything here. All right, let's talk about the Big Ten because I kind of want to. I think the Big Ten is fascinating this year, and this is mostly for myself. You guys can listen in, but I'm trying to pick Robbie's brain on what the hell is happening in this conference because we are sitting here. It is December 7th, and the much maligned Indiana Hoosiers are sitting at 7-1. They're sitting at 2-0 in the Big Ten. They are in first place. They have the best record in the conference. That makes no sense to me. So I'm going to start with this. To me right now, I think Wisconsin is a team playing the best basketball in the Big Ten. You had their game at Michigan State where they won by 13. You've seen Purdue the last two games. You know this league better than anybody. How good is Wisconsin? Now, are they for real? Is this actually a team that can go out and win the Big Ten this year?
I think that they are really good. You know, can they win the Big Ten? I still think that runs through Purdue. Even though Purdue gets off to a 1-1 start in their December conference slate, I still think that they are, in my mind, without question, the favorite. With that being said, Wisconsin has had an incredible 2 weeks. After the Providence fiasco, you could call it, I thought the game prior against Tennessee, they did some really positive things. And I think Tennessee is really good. So there's no shame in losing to them. But the way that they just got out-competed on the road, that was pretty shocking. But then give those guys a lot of credit because they have figured it out, beat a ranked Virginia team down in Florida, found a way against SMU. And then, you know, you beat Marquette on your home floor and you go to Michigan State. This is a heck of a stretch for them. Marquette on the road to Michigan State, on the road at Arizona. So I'm sure they feel like, you know, anything beyond this 2-0 start is just gravy. But I like the way they're playing. I like their personnel. I don't think they got enough credit for the fact that they did start to put it together end of last year, make that run to the NIT. And you bring your core back. You've got a good point guard in Chucky Hepburn. You've got Stephen Crowell. You've got Tyler Wall. You add AJ Storr. I really, really like their freshman, John Blackwell. I think John Blackwell is he plays his role. He's actually been pretty good offensively. He really guards. You know, Connor Sejan is an all freshman guy last year in the Big Ten. He's barely playing. You know, that's he had a back injury. But that to me tells me that their personnel mm-hmm. is pretty good because he hasn't shot the ball well. He was banged up. But I do think that Greg Gard was frustrated with maybe some of his lack of defense last year. And now that you've got Blackwell, who defends and has also honestly shot at a pretty good clip, and AJ Storr, who, you know, I had not seen him in person until whatever day I was in at Michigan State. What was that, Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday. I hadn't seen him until
that's
until
when you then. Know the college basketball season is here, when you don't
remember. Yeah, it's like every day is the same, pretty much. He's got a real NBA body. I'm not saying he's an NBA player per se, but he's 6'6", 6'7". He's put together. He's got burst. He's athletic. He actually did a lot of his damage against Michigan State from the three-point line. He hadn't shot it well in the season, shot it well at St. John's last year. But I really like their team. And on top of that, they're doing things that they, A, did not do last year, and B, some things that they have not done in 25 years. They get you on the offensive glass. Like, Crowell and Wall have been monsters there. Chucky Hepburn got big ones at the end of that Michigan State game. They get to the foul line. They're much better shooting inside the arc this year. You know, they weren't an amazing three-point shooting team last season, but they really depended on the three because they didn't get to the line and they weren't good from two. So I just think when you're looking at all those things, I think Wisconsin, without question, is one of the three best teams in the Big Ten right now.
Yeah. So what's changed? You know, I watched that. I watched the Tennessee game, and I mean, they looked fine. Like, taking a loss at home to Tennessee is not that bad. Giving up 80 points to Tennessee probably isn't the best thing in the world, but whatever. It's Tennessee. They're going to be in the mix for an SEC title. Going on the road to Providence and looking as non-competitive as they did, like, it wasn't just a beatdown, Robbie. Like, they I don't want to say they quit, but they just kind of rolled over and let that thing play out. I think they were down by like 30 at one point in the second.
No, they were. Yeah, it was a terrible game.
And then 6 days later, they turn around and they smack Virginia.
Yeah,
they held Virginia to 41 points. What's changed? Why? How did it flip so quick?
Well, I think Greg Gard really challenged Stephen Kral and Tyler Wahl, and those guys have totally responded. Just from an effort standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, Chucky Hepburn to me has really controlled games, and not necessarily with just his scoring. I thought his passing, his defense, some of the rebounds, the winning plays he made into the game were terrific. And I just think they're guarding better. You know, you mentioned 80 points against Tennessee. They're by no means an offensive juggernaut. They're better, but they still aren't, you know, they're not 92 Duke. You know, like they certainly have some limitations on the offensive end of the floor. I think it's a combination of things. And then I think guys kind of finding their roles and understanding you know, the standard that Greg Gard is going to set for that team. But you don't see many teams go into East Lansing and just punk Michigan State. And they went into East Lansing and they punked Michigan State. And that's now they're not in a good place, but still an impressive win and really an impressive 2 weeks for the Badgers.
Yeah. They surprised me. You know, I thought that they were going to be good. But I didn't think that they were going to be beat Marquette by double digits, go into East Lansing and look like the better, not just get a win, but like look like the better team, smack around Virginia a little bit. Are they, so you mentioned top three, who's your top three right now in the Big Ten?
I'd say Purdue. And then I would say 2A and 2B are Illinois and Wisconsin.
All right.
And then a tier behind that, I'd put Ohio State.
What sets Wisconsin apart from Illinois?
That's a good question. I'm not sure that I have them ahead of Illinois per se, because I think Illinois is gelling here and coming along and progressing pretty nicely as well. I don't know if anything does, to be honest with you. You know, I guess their resume sets them apart. They have a better resume than Illinois, but Illinois has handled Rutgers in one of the tougher environments the Big Ten has to offer, and then gets a win against Florida Atlantic on Tuesday night as well. So I guess if I'm talking about what sets them apart, well, head-to-head matchup against Marquette, you know, like Wisconsin beat them, Illinois loses to them at home. And I just think that probably from a resume standpoint, if you're looking at the last 2 weeks, even though Illinois has done some really good things, I think Wisconsin has them beat in that regard.
Yeah, we're going to find out a lot about both of these teams on Saturday. Illinois plays Tennessee, Wisconsin plays Arizona. I'll tell you this, I was at the Illinois FAU game, and Marcus Domask, you know that meme
he's good of
Shaq being like, I'm sorry, I was not familiar with your game. Yeah, that was me for Marcus Domask. I did not see him being a guy that could get you at 33 the way that he did. Right, like everything was just kind of, all right, I'm gonna get to my spot. I'm gonna elevate.
Dude, he posted a ton last year. Yeah. He's actually pretty good at it too.
Yeah, well, I mean, he put 33 obviously up on Florida Atlantic in the Garden. So, No, but we know how good that Illinois team can be defensively, and everyone knows about the point guard issues that they have.
Yeah,
having two guys now, and not just like Terrence Shannon's really good, and he's averaging like 22.
Hold on, didn't you tweet something about Terrence Shannon at me during the draft?
Probably.
I think you did. Probably. Should we revisit that?
What was it? What did I say? I don't even remember.
Something about me drafting him way too high and that he shouldn't have even been picked, but I'm the GM of the year out here.
You are.
I'm looking at KenPom, Terrence Shannon, fourth in the MVP voting. And, you know, first of all, Jeff again, bringing the podcast down. His draft picks were awful. And his selection process was even worse. You know, there's all these bigs. I draft Edie first. So obviously what you should do is then go and say, all right, I could draft Hunter Dickinson. I could draft Donovan Klingon. I could draft Armando Bacot. I could draft, I feel like I'm forgetting one of the better centers in college basketball.
There's a million of them.
There's a lot of them, right? Like, there's a ton of guys. And instead he's just like, all right, I'll take Hunter. Just match me pick for pick instead of taking, let's say, a point guard. You know, like Tyler Kolek, you could say that he is probably one of the few elite point guards. Jeff is really bringing this thing down. That's the only thing. That's my point. Jeff is bringing this thing down.
Yeah, I like how you made sure. That's the third time we've gotten to the Jeff is bringing down the podcast without him here. Make sure
the narrative that we need to push here.
Yes, well, we know. But the thing, so my apologies to Terrence Shannon. I will take the L on that one, Hummel, especially if he keeps
it. Thank you to me and Terrence Shannon as his GM.
And he's also a lot taller than I realized. Like, I thought he was like 6'4".
Yeah, dude, he's a 6'5". Freight train. He's 6'6", and he is like just in transition elite. Mm-hmm. He is awesome.
So when you have two guys that can go out and get their own shot like that, I think to me that's what I didn't realize Illinois had, right? Because if everything is on Terrence Shannon, I don't know if that's necessarily what you want to build an offense around. But if you don't have a point guard and you have two guys that can go kind of get their own, like, and look, Florida Atlantic, their wings are, I love Elijah Martin and Nelly Davis, but they're like 6'3", 6'4". Domask and Terrence Shannon are like 6'5", 6'6". And I think most high major wings are 6'5", and 6'6", and they were able to take advantage of that. But if you have two guys that can kind of go get your own, and you don't have to worry about having somebody make easy stuff for other people, it might be a hard way to win games, but when you are as good as they are defensively, I think it can work. I'm in on Illinois.
No, I really like them too. And I think from a chemistry standpoint, they are substantially better from what we saw last year.
I don't think it's hard to be substantially better.
No, I mean, I think from, but look at like the shot selection last year. Mm-hmm. It was so funny to me that they shot the most threes on the worst or second worst percentage in the league when they were the best 2-point shooting team in the Big Ten. And it was like they just refused to go to the basket. They refused to drive the ball. They wanted to shoot threes. And I look, they're still going to shoot them. They're going to get them up. But I do think it's a much more mature group. Thanks to the beauty of technology, I was able to locate this. It was actually a text that was sent to me and Jeff from one Rob Doster. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
What you said? Please.
Tell me what I said.
After the pick was made, you said Terrence Shannon with the 12th pick is insanity, Robbie. Granted, he is now the fourth candidate in KenPom MVP. And I said, who would you have taken there, Mr. GM? And you said, any of your next seven picks, which I don't know who those were. But then the quote of the year from Rob Doster, if Terrence Shannon played in the SEC, he would be Nick Smith.
Okay. To be clear on that, I was making fun of T.O. We have an inside joke where T.O. said if Drew Timmy played in the SEC, he'd be Tolu Smith.
Yeah, and you know what? That was unforgivable. That was on the All-American show last year, and he said, look, Tolu Smith is good, and I understand that. But Drew Timmy is a three-time All-American.
Yeah,
so, but that, Drew Timmy. You can say what you want. The text don't lie, Rob. This is what it says.
Okay, so that was you just outed me, man. No, look, Terrence Shannon's been awesome this year. He's been a lot better than I thought he would be.
12th pick. Value pick.
He's a top five pick right now.
I agree. But you know what? That's what GM of the year,
Robbie Hummel.
Let's go. Let's go.
No, I do think that I'm with you on the top three there. Talk to me about Ohio State, because this is one that I think we all kind of came into the year saying, is this – like, is Holt going to work out there? Is this the right fit? Is this something where it's going to be long-term? And they're, what are they, 8-1 now, 7-1 now? And they've been really impressive. They've been really good.
Yeah, they're 8-1 and, you know, certainly opened some eyes, I think, with the win against Alabama and then the way they just dump truck Santa Clara. I did the game against Texas A&M, and they were right there for 35 minutes. And I think A&M is pretty good. When they're healthy, you know, their guards are terrific with Radford and Wade Taylor.
Wade Taylor went nuts in that game.
Oh, he was – I mean, end of the game, he was just the best player on the floor. But Ohio State was there. They competed. They've been much better defensively this year. And last year, Bryce Sensabaugh was a real talent, which is, you know, he's a first-round pick. but he was awful on defense. And like awful to the point where it was hard for their team to guard because he was so deficient in that area. I really like their guard play. I think that Roddy Gale has kind of built on what we saw at the end of last season, where he wasn't just out there to defend anymore. He was attacking, shooting the ball at a high clip last year, end of the season. And he's just, his mentality has been that he needs to make plays. And I love that for him. He's coming into his own. Bruce Thornton is certainly the leader of the team. Their backcourt is great. You know, you could make the argument that they have the best backcourt in the Big Ten. I mean, you really could, if you're talking about 1-2 punches with those two guys. Jamison Battle is a shot maker, and I think with better talent around him than he had last year, maybe he can get back to what we saw him his initial year at Minnesota with EJ Stevens and Peyton Willis, where he did have a good year that year. He averaged 17, shot it from three. And then I think Zed Key and Felix Akpara are two very different but solid Big Ten players. You know, I think this is more of a team that will guard you. And last year it just snowballed. You know, they lost a couple close games, and then it was just they could not figure it out. But I do give them credit for staying the course, and those young guys got a lot of experience. And I think now it's paying off. I like their team, and certainly a big test for them here, not this weekend, but next when they'll see UCLA.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM Sportsbook for this college basketball season. We're going to be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks and predictions throughout the college basketball season. And we are going to have special offers for you, the listeners, and the viewers on the Field of 68 each and every week during the season. If you haven't signed up with BetMGM yet, use the bonus code FIELD1500 and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager on BetMGM Sportsbook. Here's what you got to do. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD1500. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $1,500 in bonus bets if that bet loses. Just make sure you use the bonus code FIELD1500 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient for me when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly. When crossing state borders, just log into your existing account instead of having to create new accounts in each state that you go to. And most importantly, I got to let you know, we do have some fun stuff coming up for this college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boosts, my personal favorite, parlay odds boosts. So download the BetMGM app today. You know what's really impressive to me? You mentioned Zed Key. He was a guy that was a starter for most of his sophomore year. He's embraced his role. Yeah, most of his junior year. And now he's coming off the bench. And he's been great. He's done exactly what he's needed to do. And
he lost a ton of weight, too. I asked him what diet he's on because I need to get on him when I saw him for A&M. And he said he ate a bunch of lean meat and vegetables and tried to cut out the junk food. And that sounds too simplistic, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound so hard until you
What it sounds like, Robbie? It sounds like a 22-year-old's metabolism right there.
Yeah, that helps. And the, you know, 4 days of lifting a week and playing every day, that helps too.
Yeah. Golf does not burn as many calories as a Chris Holtman basketball practice.
Depends on if you walk. If you walk 36 holes, maybe. But
fair enough.
Riding the cart, not so much.
Is this start for Ohio State real? Or is this just something where, I mean, they Texas A&M lost, Alabama won. But beyond that, they really haven't played anybody that difficult.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota would be the next best probably team. And they beat them by 10, got up by 20. Minnesota kind of came back, cut it to 5 or 6 with 5 to play. I don't think it's fake, if that makes sense. I do think that the way they played A&M, I thought they played well and they competed. And then Bama is very talented. I think Bama is still trying to put it all together, and they've had some injuries and a suspension. But there's a lot of new faces in that Alabama team. This isn't the toughest non-conference schedule that you're going to see out there, but I do like their team, and I do like the way they're playing. So I will say that's why they're not in the same tiers as Wisconsin and Illinois. I put them behind there, but you play who you play, and they have handled business for the most part.
All right. I want to ask you about two teams in the Big 12 that have me really, really worried. The Big 10. Maryland, sitting here at 5-4. The worst three-point shooting team in the Big 10. The third worst three-point shooting team in college basketball.
I mean, it's horrific shooting, yes.
Yeah. I think Jeff Goodman would be the second best shooter on that roster right now.
Just ask him. He would claim that.
Yeah, not a good sign. They've had some ugly losses. They got smoked by Indiana. They got smoked by Villanova. They lost to Davidson and UAB, neither of whom look as good as what you would expect those programs to be. And then they won last night in overtime against Penn State. And then you have Michigan State, preseason top 5 team, started the season out 4-4, just got drubbed at home by Wisconsin, and they have tied the worst start through 8 games for any preseason AP top 5 team in the last 40 years. Give me a panic meter on those two programs. Who are you more worried about right now?
I think I'm more worried about Maryland, because at least Michigan State has been like competitive with Arizona and Duke. They have not won the games, but they've not gotten blown out. Whereas Maryland's lost to Davidson, UAB, Nova, who's what, like a top 35 team. And if you're talking about Indiana, they're probably Indiana and KenPom is like in the 60s, and they scored 53 points. Their offense is horrible. They look disjointed. They've shot the ball so poorly. I don't think Maryland has great depth. So how am I rating this? Like 1 to 10?
Yeah, we can do 1 to 10. That'll work.
All right. For Maryland, I'm going to go, I'm at like a 9. I'm a 9 worried about them, just because the expectations were so high. And, you know, you get Jameer Young to come back, Julian Reese comes back, Dante Scott comes back, and they have not figured it out. And the shooting is really, really poor. Michigan State, I'll put the number at 8. Just a hair under Maryland, I suppose, because of the fact that they did have chance against Duke. They did have opportunities against Arizona. They still could get Baylor in what's a, I guess, pseudo home game in Detroit. So you at least have one more crack at a quality non-conference win. But they just, seeing them play Wisconsin, you know, Wisconsin comes into your building, they're ranked. Michigan State does not have a marquee win on the season yet. And to see them play with the effort and just the lack of energy that they had in that game, in that building, with what their season has been so far, you know, A.J. Hogard actually played better in that game, but I still just, you know, he makes a couple threes, gets them back into the game along with Tyson Walker, and then just falls in love with the three-point shot. That's not what he does, you know, and I know Tom Izzo and him have had plenty of meetings, heart-to-hearts, chats, whatever you want to call it. Like, these guys have spent a lot of time talking about what he expects of AJ Hogard. And I just am like, you know, when he made him, I even thought to myself, this could be fool's gold. This could be one of those things where now he takes a couple more when he should drive it and make a play at the rim or make a play for somebody else. Outside of Tyson Walker, they look so lost. And I will give Malik Hall, I think you have to give him the benefit of the doubt because he had been sick from Friday to Tuesday. They didn't expect him to play. He tried to gut it out. He did not look like he had much energy, which, you know, if, you know, when you get the flu like that, that just is what it is. But without him, they don't have anybody that can score with their back to the basket. Jaden Akins, he looks lost with his role right now, which is crazy because I think he has every tool to be a high-level player, certainly at this level. And then just Michigan State talks about how they want to run. You hear that from Izzo. You heard it in the preseason. You've heard it over the course of this non-conference slate. They didn't run at all. They're not even looking. It was just a half-court grinded out. So it's like they just look so lost, which is pretty surprising. Now, if anyone can get him right, it's that dude. He has done it before. He finds ways to make his teams improve. But this is a huge game for them Sunday at Nebraska against a Nebraska team that looked horrible in the second half last night at Minnesota in a loss.
They'll put 15,000 people in that building.
Oh, that place will be packed. That place will be – it'll be hyped. But I think for both those teams, Nebraska and Michigan State – must win. That is a must-win game. And then a huge opportunity for the Spartans against Baylor. But I don't like the way they're playing. It is a rough watch right now.
Yeah, I don't know if it's fixable either without getting without getting Jaden Akins to become a borderline all Big Ten guy, which is what I think a lot of us thought he would turn into this year. And without getting AJ Hogard to be the AJ Hogard that showed up for what, like the last month of last season?
I mean, it's just like six games probably.
Yeah, you're relying on a 6 foot guard whose strength is kind of creating his own shot and not making things easier for others to carry you in games. And the worrying part to me, Robbie, is that it feels like every one of these losses, they just get down so big so early. Well,
their starts are abysmal.
Yes.
They did it again against Wisconsin. It's like 12-2 at the media timeout. Steven Crowell makes two threes. Storr makes a three. I mean, it was the same thing with the James Madison loss. Same thing with
Arizona.
With the Arizona game. Same thing with the Duke game. They're just digging themselves these massive holes, and then they got to find their way back out of it. And even, I mean, they did the same thing. They did cut that lead, I bet, in the second half against Wisconsin down to 5 or 6. But, man, you extend so much energy coming back. Why don't you just start the game off with the same sense of urgency? I don't know. The AJ Hogard situation is certainly difficult as well. The shooting for them also, I mean, they just can't make a shot. So you add up the poor point guard play. Jaden Akins seems like he's lost in his role. The shooting is bad. They get nothing in transition. And you've got pretty much Tyson Walker who is honestly playing at a high level, creating for himself. And you got a recipe for a team that's just not very good right now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You got a recipe for 4-4 is what you got right there. I can't wait for Michigan State and Maryland to play. because it will be the worst 3-point shooting performance anybody has ever seen.
The battle of the panic meter bowl.
The panic meter bowl. All right. The last team I want to ask you about is Purdue. And first and foremost, I think my big question for you is how much are you rooting against Zach Edey right now so that you can stay in the top 10 of Purdue?
No, that ship has sailed. That's over with. You know, the only thing that I can think of is I really wish that I missed four games as a sophomore. I missed the last like 7 or 8 as a junior. If I played, I'd have more cushion is what I'm saying. But, you know, unfortunately those things did happen. So somebody tweeted at me like, hey, it only took you 13 years to get to that number. And in fairness, I didn't play that many games because I kept getting hurt. But yeah, he's a beast. He could honestly break the all-time scoring record, which Rick Mount has. He set it without the 3-point line in 3 years, which is actually insane.
Well, I mean, it's not like Zach Edey's out here firing up threes.
No, so. I know, but the fact Mount probably, I mean, I can't even imagine how many more points he would have because he was an elite shooter. So if he had the 3-point line, he'd have a ton more points. And he didn't play as a freshman because they weren't allowed to back then. Edey is a monster. He's going to win National Player of the Year again.
Yeah, there's no one else that
is even in the ballpark. And I still don't understand that there's actually college basketball fans that think he's only good because he's tall. If you think that, you are an idiot. Like, you really are an idiot if you think that. The way he moves at 7'4", like his footwork, the fact that he can change ends. I've seen 7', 7'2", 7'3" guys that legitimately have a hard time running up the floor and changing direction and running back. And this dude's playing 33 minutes. So from a physical standpoint, he is an anomaly.
Well, that's the thing that stands out to me more than anything else is that he can play 38 minutes and not get tired. And he's moving 300 pounds up and down the floor, sprinting up and down the floor, getting put in defensive actions every single possession, having four guys hang on him every time he touches the ball, and the dude doesn't get tired. Like,
no, yes, I know.
He's big, and it helps when you're 7'4 and 290 pounds. That's a good thing on a basketball court, but you're not going to be the National Player of the Year if you don't have like a nice touch around the basket and you don't know how to use your feet.
He's good with his right hook. He can go to his left hand. He's certainly got some footwork that is nice. I just can't believe that people actually think that. That is the dumbest take ever. He is a monster.
I do want to ask you kind of just big picture on Purdue because they looked fantastic out in Maui, right? They beat Gonzaga, they beat Tennessee, they beat Marquette. All three of those are top 10 teams on KenPom right now. We saw them beat Xavier at home in a game where it felt like older brother just holding little brother off with their hand like this. They kind of smacked around Iowa on was that Monday night? Yeah, Tuesday, Monday night. But in the mix, in the middle of that is a loss at home to Northwestern in overtime where some of the same stuff kind of popped up, right? Like you had some turnovers from Braden Smith. You had some untimely shot selection from Lance Jones. And you had a guy, a point guard, in Boo Booey go for 31 points, 9 assists, no turnovers.
He was phenomenal. Boo Booey was incredible that game.
So where do you – I kind of waver back and forth. Like, there are some of the same things popping up. But to me, that just says more of you had a fifth-year senior point guard playing at home, go absolutely bonkers and play the game of his life. And that's just going to happen in college basketball some nights.
No, that was my takeaway as well. I think with Purdue – certainly the turnovers and then the 3-point shooting around Edey is going to be important all season long. And that's kind of been the story for them for the last 2 years as they've built this team around, their 7-4 center. They didn't shoot the ball great. The turnovers were, especially they had 4 turnovers in overtime and they led by 4 to start. And then I think with the way, you know, certainly I have some concern, I think for Purdue, when you get into the NCAA tournament and you see some of the elite guards like that have shake and quickness. Now, Lance Jones got in foul trouble and that definitely hurt that matchup. But that's an area of, I think that could be problematic for Purdue. When you see some of the really quick guards with a handle And Boo Boo, he exposed that. You know, he just got to his right hand, played off 2 feet, made some tough shots. I mean, he really did. Mm-hmm. You know, they went under on a handoff in overtime, and he just stepped back and made a three that cut their 4-point lead to one. He was awesome. But they didn't do a good job defending Ty Berry or Ryan Langborg either. Like, those guys, I think Northwestern's guards had 72 points. Like, that is insane. Those three guys combined for 72 or 73 points. So I do think that that's a concern. But at the same time, when you look at the box score for Purdue, on top of the turnovers and the poor shooting, you look at Edie, he fouled out, like, Northwestern's entire front court, which he's mm-hmm. done to every team. Every team in Maui, Xavier, he did it again against Iowa. I mean, every team that they have played, their fours and fives have 3, 4, and 5 fouls. Like, they just, every one of them. So that is going to be so hard to contend with when you're playing Purdue, the foul shots. And I just think what you said was totally accurate. It was the case of conference play. The road is tough. Bowie was unbelievable. And, you know, Purdue kind of shot themselves in the foot. But you still look at who they've beaten. You know, you beat Tennessee, you beat Marquette, you beat Gonzaga. They've got huge opportunities coming up these next 2 weeks.
Marquette's the team. Like, if you look at how Marquette's built, they have a bunch of guards.
They would give them problems.
Yes, the bunch of guards.
Guards that can get downhill and get to the rim, and they press you and turn you over. And some of those issues they had at Northwestern were certainly issues against Marquette. They could not guard their guards late, but Marquette, you know, had dug themselves this hole, and the foul line was an issue, and Iguodaro was sat with 4 fouls for a large portion of that game. But I just think that when you mix in the lack of 3-point shooting, that is magnified, and that's what you saw at Northwestern. They weren't making shots like they did in Maui. They made a lot of threes down in Hawaii.
Yeah, not Maui, I think. Honolulu. I also think it helps that Braden Smith looks like he's taking.
Oh, he's a beast. Yeah, he has. He totally has. And he had a couple of turnovers that weren't good, but end of that Northwestern game. But he's a player. And I just like the fact that he's looking for his own offense, because I think that makes Edie even tougher to guard, especially in pick and roll.
Yeah, he's gotten to the point where, like, he can get to that little 15-foot pull-up going to his right, and it's almost automatic. And he can get to the basket. Good at that. He's tough, too. He's got some shit to him, I think, more than people realize just looking at him. So, last thing I got for you real quick, give me one team in the Big Ten that people are not talking about enough. Someone from maybe the bottom half, someone that got a little bit of hype earlier in the year that we're kind of forgetting about right now. Is there anyone that you think needs a little bit more attention? Is it Northwestern? Is it?
I mean, I think it has to be Northwestern. I guess it could be Indiana starting 2-0, but they didn't exactly, you know, you play Maryland and,
they still haven't hit more than 4 threes.
No, I really worry about their shooting is not great. They, you know, they beat Maryland, they beat Michigan, and honestly, the Michigan road win is a good win for them. With no Xavier Johnson, that's a good win. I'll go Northwestern. I think you have to beat number one for the second consecutive year. Chris Collins has done a phenomenal job. They compete, they guard. Langborg finally got on track making shots. The impressive thing too is that they beat Purdue, and Brooks Barnheiser really didn't play all that well. He's been a guy that they really play through, but yeah, I'd go Northwestern. I think the schedule hasn't been necessarily crazy outside of the Purdue win. I think they beat Dayton, lost in Connecticut to Mississippi State, but they just have to hold serve. You know, their schedule going into conference play is not tough. They can't afford to lose to Detroit Mercy or Chicago State or DePaul, who lost by a million points last night. They've got to beat these teams over Christmas.
Yeah. Hey, are you going to go to there's 2 huge games in Chicago the next 2 Saturdays. We have Louisville playing DePaul, and we have Northwestern playing DePaul. Are you going to make it down to either of those?
No, I will be in Toronto this weekend for Purdue, Alabama, and TCU Clemson. And then I will be in Indianapolis for Ball State, Indiana State, and then Purdue, Arizona.
So, you got 2 games in one day?
For both these weekends, yeah.
Look at you. All right. Is Ball State, Indiana State, is that in the same building?
Yeah. It's like the precursor, I guess. I don't know what they call it. Like the main card is Purdue, Arizona, but Ball State and Indiana State face off before that.
Well, listen, Robbie, this was fun. I'm sure it was nice for you to actually have someone on here that wasn't going to make you look like an idiot. I tried my best, even though you had to throw Terrence Shannon back in my face. and look, if we want to get rid of Goodman for once and for all, we could just call this Two Roberts, One Podcast.
I like that. I like that idea. We can talk about that.
All right, Robbie. Safe travels this weekend and the rest of the season. It was good catching up with you.
Thanks, Rob.
Goodman and Hummel Podcast, and we got Robbie Hummel.
I'd known you since you were a kid.
I could blow my knee out, both knees, and still kick your ass.
We're trying to find the Robbie Hummel statue.
I wanted to kill you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.